Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining us today. Here on Live by Every Word, I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And if you like to go back and listen to past episodes of this program or other programming here on KPCG, you can find all of that programming online at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. It's been quite a bit going on in the news lately. A lot of concern over pandemics and crashing economies. What kind of a message does the world need today? What's the message that needs to be gotten out to this world? Well, overall, the biggest message, the most important message, has not changed, but it's more relevant now than ever. It's the gospel message, the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God, the family of God. That message was so important that God the Father had Christ deliver it for the first time. That message was delivered for the first time by Jesus Christ Himself. So you can see how important of a message that is. It couldn't be trusted to anyone else. Christ Himself had to deliver that message. That gospel message of the kingdom of God was then preached by God's church. And God's church continues today to deliver that message. What's in there? What's in that gospel message? Why is it so important? Well, the gospel message is the central message of the Bible. That's the thread. There's prophecy that's very important. There's history that's important. And it all latches on to this gospel message. The gospel message includes, why man? Why did God create mankind? It talks about Abraham. It talks about ancient Israel. You can look at the life of Jesus Christ and His teachings. You can look at the apostles. What did they teach? What did they talk about? They talked about the gospel, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. This is free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for it if you don't have it. It says, but the kingdom of God is more than just the government of God. It is also the family of God, into which humans may be born as spirit members. As a governing or ruling family, it will exercise jurisdiction over all nations on earth and ultimately over the entire universe. So this kingdom of God, it's more than just the government. That's part of it, but it's a family. It's a family. And let's see what Christ taught about the kingdom and family of God. Notice this passage here in John 3. We'll have a few passages today. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to look these up with me. John 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Christ was getting to the heart of the matter and says, okay, here's how a person is born again. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? When somebody's old, do they go back into their mother's womb and then they're born again? And of course, that's the way we think physically. We just sort of think about the physical world. Christ said, no, look, this is different. This is a spiritual birth. The Correspondence Course says, Christ showed that the kingdom of God is the family of God into which we may be born as God beings, no longer human beings, but divine beings, literally born of God's Spirit into the very family of God, born into the very family of God as a spirit being. People die. We know that. It's given to every person to die once, and then the resurrection, as the Bible says. Matter of fact, you know, lately people are so concerned with coronavirus that you can go look every day at a disease map, and it says how many people are sick and how many people have died. And you know, death is a difficult part of the human existence, the human experience. For those that remain alive, they miss the person that died, and the dying process isn't always a pleasant one, to say the least. But what about after that? What about the future? I mean, if this life is all there is, well, that's pretty hopeless. But there's a lot more to it. Christ was explaining that to Nicodemus. There's more than just this physical life. And thank God for that. There's a family of God that mankind can be born into. Born spirit, resurrected. And there is a family government structure. Let's notice this in Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 25. And this is talking about physical marriage, but it's also talking about spiritual marriage and spiritual family. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So here's there's a family structure that's being explained. This is the way physical families work. They don't work any other way. And of course, it's a relationship of mutual love and helping. Nobody's being hurt in this setup. It's not an abusive setup. It's a loving and a helping situation in a government structure. And then you can read in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 2, where you can see that children should obey their parents and honor them. This teaches children ultimately to obey God. The proper family structure is pointing everybody back to the God family. And that's why God created this family government structure among mankind, so that we can learn about the God family government structure. It makes sense. We hopefully grow up in families that are following this type of structure. Some have and some have not had that situation. But I think everyone's roughly familiar with the family pattern and structure. It's becoming more rare today. But this biblical pattern, this biblical structure, it's the God family structure. That's what it's teaching us about. That's what the world needs to be focused on today and thinking about. Is this family structure that teaches us about the God family? Men didn't invent marriage and family. They didn't invent those relationships. And they don't have the authority to change them, change the way they operate. God created marriage and family, and it can only function according to his laws. That's the only way it can function. The correspondence course notes that God created the human family to be a physical type of his own family. Therefore, he instructs human families to have government from the top down, just as his divine family does. God's family has a ruling structure with various responsibilities to be fulfilled by spirit-born children of God, all organized into a world-ruling government. Are you ready for world-ruling government and to be part of that? That's what God wants his people to be preparing for. And ultimately, he wants all of mankind brought into his family structure. When you see chaos unfolding in the world and governments scrambling to try to come up with a solution to problems, well, it can be pretty frustrating because the solutions often are worse than the original problem. And man just sort of trips and stumbles and tries to figure things out and fights with each other. How about a government structure that works from the top down? God the Father, Jesus Christ, the church as the bride of Christ, and the various offices within that. And then the children, those brought into the kingdom of God after Christ's return. All working together, all obeying the laws, solving any difficulty that comes up through the government structure and through the law of God. That solves all the problems that we see. It solves all of them. It'll be so nice to get away from man trying to solve the problems. They simply don't solve them. Problems are just exacerbated. Now, you're familiar, I think, with the history of Lucifer. God placed him on this earth to rule the earth with one-third of the angels. But Lucifer rebelled. He became Satan, the adversary, and rejected the government of God. And then God created man and gave Adam the chance to replace Satan as world ruler. But again, Adam sinned and he failed. And 4,000 years later, Christ came to earth, and he did qualify to replace Satan as ruler of this earth. There's a government structure. And of course, today, Satan is still the god of this world. He's still the god of this world. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Look around at this world today. Do you think Jesus Christ rules this earth yet? Under God the Father's overall direction? Well, clearly not. Look at the death. Look at the chaos. Look at the suffering. Look at the confusion, the bickering, the debt. That's not according to God's laws. That's according to Satan's way. Because Satan is still the god of this world. The good news is Christ is qualified to replace him as ruler of this earth, and he will take over the rulership at his second coming. The Correspondence Course says, but Christ did not immediately begin ruling. He didn't start ruling right when he qualified. It says he returned to heaven and established his church on earth through God's Spirit, thus making it possible for many to qualify to rule with him. See, this plan is open to all of mankind. And of course, specifically the first fruits today that are qualifying for these leadership positions and qualifying to marry Christ. The church will marry Christ. But this plan is open to all of mankind in due time. And God's holy day plan reveals everybody's time order and how that works. It says it would be nearly 2,000 years later that Christ would return from heaven to restore the government of God over the entire earth. You can read about that in Acts 3. Acts 3 verses 19 through 21. We're getting very close to that time now where Christ will return. And we won't have to watch nightly news broadcasts of sensationalism and terror and fear and panic and division. Times are going to change. This gospel message is more important now than it's ever been. It's more urgent now than it's ever been. We're closer to the return of Christ. And God's people throughout the years have been anticipating Christ's return. God's giving his first fruits time to prepare to rule with Christ. God established his plan for seven church eras, of course. We're in the final church era today, the seventh and final era today, the Laodicean era. And at the end of this era, Jesus Christ returns. Notice Revelation 11 and verse 15. This is a picture of Christ's return. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At his second coming, Christ will rule over this whole earth. The kingdom of God is literal. It's literal. It's a literal earth and universe ruling kingdom. China, Russia, Germany, all the nations we're familiar with today, the United States, all people will be ruled by Christ and those that are assisting Christ. The first fruits that are preparing today are being trained today to rule with Christ. Notice John 18 and verse 36. Jesus answered, he was talking to Pilate here, right before he was to be crucified. Jesus answered, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So in talking to Pilate here, Christ was clear that his kingdom wasn't of the current world that we see. The chaos, the division, the pandemics. This is not of God. When Christ returns, he will take over the rule of all the world. And it's going to be a much different and a much better world because the government of God will make it that way. The Correspondence Course notes that Christ's kingdom is not part of this world's civilization. It will not begin to rule on earth until his second coming. The civilization is one that has been led astray by Satan. It's all built up on competition, lies, division. It's not God's world. So people can look at different problems and say, why is this happening? Again, it's because it's not God's world. And this world is destined, the civilization is destined to, well, as Christ said, destroy itself unless he returned to stop it. That's how bad it will get. And that's what Christ prophesied in Matthew 24. The reason it gets that way is because Satan is the god of this world today until he is replaced at Christ's second coming. But notice what the world will be like under Christ's rule. This is in Micah 4. This is a much better world that's coming. If you're tired of all the problems in this world, well, it won't be long until those things pass. Micah 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." The mountain here, this mountain symbolizing government, the government of God, it's going to rule. Verse 2, "And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem." And there's going to be the law of God, the government of God, emanating from Jerusalem, and people are going to want to learn about that law. They're going to want to learn about how to be successful. Of course, that's what God wanted Israel to do anciently, be an example, lead people to him. They failed in doing that, but he will bring all people to him. People will come to learn about God's ways, and Israel will be a model nation because they'll be obeying God at that time. Verse 3 says, "And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." You can't say that about the time we're living in today, right? People are doing the opposite. They're turning their they're turning everything into a weapon, basically, one way or the other, to try to get the upper hand over another nation, over another people. They do learn war. They learn new ways of war, more advanced ways of war. But a time's coming when people won't learn war anymore. Verse 4 says, "They shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken it." This is a vision of peace in the millennium. It's a vision of a different world, a world that is ruled by the kingdom of God. And man will be ruled by Jesus Christ and his bride, and the law will be enforced, and because of that, there'll be peace. There'll be this vision that we read about here in Micah 4. It'll be a reality because of the government and the law of God. The Correspondence Course says, "When the kingdom of God takes over the governments of this earth, and the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ begins, commonly called the millennium, his rule will bring peace, happiness, and joy to all mankind." And you see, Satan's world today is full of the opposite. It's full of war. It's full of unhappiness. It's full of bitterness. And it's because of the way Satan rules. That's why. That breaking of God's laws has caused all the problems that we see today. The opposite then will take effect. God's government will teach the laws of God, will rule with the government of God, and the result will be peace, happiness, and joy to all mankind, not just a select few, not just the privileged. Everybody is going to have this peace and happiness and joy as they obey God's laws. The quote continues and says, "Notice that in the millennium there will be babies and young children on earth. They will be mortal, flesh and blood human beings, not spirit beings. And since spirit-begotten Christians will have already been made immortal sons of God at the resurrection, there will be both mortals and immortals living at the same time throughout the millennium." It's going to be a very different world than what we see today. And in order for there to really be the peace that we all want on this earth, the adversary has to be put away. Satan has to be put away. His broadcasting has to stop. His government has to stop ruling. He has to be dethroned. And he will be replaced. Notice Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." He will be put away. Satan will be put away. The Correspondence Course notes that Satan will be put away where he can do no harm. He will be gone, and Christ will be here instead of the evil spirit or attitude of Satan pervading the atmosphere, influencing everyone and causing evil as it does today. You can read about that in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, how Satan broadcasts. Instead of that, the Holy Spirit of God will infuse the atmosphere. The Holy Spirit, represented by living waters, you can read about that in Zechariah 14 and verse 8 and in John 7, verses 38 and 39. God's Spirit will flow out from Christ and begin to heal the spiritual problems of mankind. The government of the world tomorrow will be based on God's law of love. It's going to be a different world because there'll be a different spirit directing this world. God's government, it says, will not be a democracy. No more voting, thankfully. It will not be socialism, which, of course, America is descending into more and more. It won't be communism. It won't be fascism. It will be divine government, the government of God. It will not be government from the bottom up, so you're not going to have all the people voting. The people will not vote, it says, for their leaders. It won't vote them into office. They won't vote them into office. No time or money will be wasted on campaigning and elections. It will not be government of or by the people, but it will be government for the people. It will be government from the top, God Almighty down. In the world tomorrow, all officials will be members of God's family. So you don't have to worry about there being corrupt officials. Everyone will be obeying God's laws. They will be members of God's family, divine spirit beings appointed by Christ himself, even down to the level of mayors over cities. We've seen a lot of press conferences lately from governors and mayors inciting panic in their cities, throwing out all kinds of thoughts and ideas, enforcing rules. Isn't it time for some righteousness, some righteous rule, some honest rule? We certainly need to see more and more of that. And we won't see it until the kingdom of God. But then at that time, that is what we'll see. That's what God's people are preparing for today. Watching the news is fascinating because you see how mankind tries to solve problems and makes things worse. And that can be frustrating. It can be frightening in some ways. But how about thinking about current events in the light of this gospel message? Well, the rulership of today is going to be replaced by the kingdom of God. How will you help solve the problems? How will I help solve the problems? It's a lot to think about and a lot to pray about there. The Bible, it says, tells us that under the leadership of Jesus Christ, God's government will produce a utopian paradise on earth. Is that a fantasy? A utopian paradise? No, it's not. But it comes from obeying the law of God. God's laws bring that peace. If ever there was a time where God's people needed to really understand more deeply the gospel message and help proclaim that message to the world, now is that time. The world needs hope, and there's no hope in bailouts or in any sort of idea of mankind. The only hope, the true hope, the lasting hope is in the return of Jesus Christ and the government and the kingdom and the family of God. That's where the hope is. And that's hope that's available to every single person because God's plan, his gospel message, includes every person. What a wonderful opportunity we have to learn about this today and prepare to take our place in the kingdom of God at the return of Jesus Christ. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.